Melachim Beis Parakei Pasuk Tesvav. V'yashav Elisha Elokim Hu v'chol machaneu v'yavav v'yamad lefanav v'yomer hinei lo yadati ki ein Elokim b'chol ha'aretz ki im b'Yisrael v'ato kach no bracha meis avdecha. So now when I'm so impressed with the neis that Elisha just performed, how he cured him from the Bitzaras, and he tells him that now I recognize that there is no God amongst the nations, meaning he's being koifer and avodah zarah, right? He's denying avodah zarah. And he's saying, the only God that's around, that's available, is Beisrael. And what is he offering? He's offering him a bracha.
Does he run to the moil?
No. He's not converting, right? Let's not get too carried away, right? No need to overreact. But he's admitting that Hashem is the God, and all of the Zara is Narishkeit. Doesn't mean anything. So now he's offering a brach, he's offering payment for, right, this is a great service, right? You cured me, right? I went to all the physicians in the world, right? I paid the highest premiums of healthcare, right? Even higher than America. And what do you know? Nothing. No one can help me. And now only the Navi is the one who can help me. They want to pay you. They want to pay you for this great service. And this whole payment is going to be the topic for the rest of the parak. We'll see. Folik design. Vayomer Chai Hashem Asher Amadti Lefanav Im Ekach Vayivtzar Bo Lekachas Vayimoyin. What does Elisha say? No. No, I'm not going to accept it. Why? Because according to the halacha, he's not allowed to be merape, right? You're not allowed to be merape a goy, to do a bracha, to do a nes for a goy for no reason, right? The only reason he did it is because it was a hetar lefisha, right? It was a special hetar just for that time, just for that event, in order to do a kiddush Hashem. But if he's doing it for kiddush Hashem, you can't take any money for that, right? That's going to defeat the whole purpose. Kiddush Hashem is to show, what power the Navi really has. So therefore, he refuses to take the money. Pasuk Zayin. Vayomer Naaman v'loy yutana l'avdecha masa tzemed prodim adama ki lo yasa oid avdecha oilo v'zavach l'alim acherim ki im la'ashem. So he tells him, okay, you don't want to take money? Fine. Right, I'll give you something else.
Ruth. Oh, you crazy. You don't take money.
Right?
That's kind of a mishigara.
Right? It actually reminds me of a story I heard many, many years ago, about 10 years ago. I don't know if it's true, but it's true that I heard it. Right? So I heard the story of a guy who's driving in Brooklyn, right? A Jewish guy. And he sees this limousine, right? Parks on the side of the road. It's got a flat tire. So, you know, he's a nice guy. He's a yid. He pulls over, and he offers. You know, he goes over to the driver. Right, he's got this like little, you know, white hat. He's like, you know, let's change the tire. The driver's like, I don't know how to change the tire. Right, all I know is how to drive. Do the drive. Right, that's all I know. Right, I called the AAA, and they're on their way. They'll be here in half an hour, 45 minutes. The guy's like, okay, fine. I'll show you how to change the tire. Tire, come. I'll show you. He goes to the trunk, pulls out the spare. Right, he shows the driver how to change the tire. 15-20 minutes later, they're back on the road, right? Anyway, the guy in the limousine pulls down his window and he says, you know, thank you very much for your time. You know, you really saved me, you know, time for waiting for AAA. How much can I pay you, right? So the guy says, no, it's a mitzvah. You know, you wanted to do a Kiddush Hashem. I don't want to take any money, right? Don't worry about it. So the guy in the car says, okay, you know, let me at least send your wife flowers for Shabbos, right? You know, he knew about, you know, Jews, right? He wasn't Jewish himself, but he knew about Jews. He said, I'll send you away flowers. What's your address? This is fine. You know, make my wife happy. Why not? You know, give him his address, and the guy drives off. Anyway, that Erev Shabbos, this huge, enormous bouquet of flowers shows up at the door. You're one of those, you know, bouquets that, like, you know, take up the whole room, right? And on the bouquet of flowers was attached a note. And the note says, thank you very much for helping me with my car trouble this week. I hope you enjoyed the flowers. Have a good Shabbos. P.S. I paid off your mortgage. Signed, Donald Trump. That's the story I heard.
This is not true story.
Not a true story. Okay. Our God, this already. All right.
I better believe the signature was Barack Obama.
Right. Okay. Depends if you're a Democrat or Republican,
no,
right?
Because Trump is a businessman. He, I know story. He is very tough with money, and many people complain. He was. And was very not fair to people who have business with him. No, but this is normal. It's not wrong, but it's his kind of show him how high kind he is.
Yeah, maybe. Listen, like I said, I don't know if it's a true story, but it's true that I heard it.
Some here in the story, I'm confused. Yeah. Is Naaman Jewish or not? Or is he a goy?
No, he was a goy.
He's a goy.
He's a goy, yeah. Not Jewish. That's why we're saying here it was ushered to be Merapahim, right? Elisha was not supposed to be Merapahim. The only reason he was allowed to do so was for Kiddush Hashem. That's why he refused to take the money. Then you're defeating the whole purpose.
Not allowed to take anything. Yeah,
right. It's defeating the whole purpose. So what does Naaman say? He says he offers him a tzemer prodim adama. What does that mean? That he's trying to bring a carbon to Hashem. Right? He's trying to offer a carbon. Right? That's why I remember the story with, you know, Donald Trump / Barack Obama. Right? You know, he says, like, I'm not gonna pay you, but at least let me, you know, do something. You know, some kind of gesture. I'll send your wife, you know, flowers for Shabbos, right? Or in this case, I want to at least show my appreciation
gratitude
to Hashem, so my gratitude, so I'm going to be makriv a carbon, right? Semen pradim adama. Right, why? Well, I'm trying to demonstrate that I'm not going to be makriv carbonis anymore to avoid the zara. This is to symbolize that from now on, I'm only going to be makriv to Hashem. Okay, and goyim are allowed to bring korbanos, right? Even in the base of Mikdash. Yeah. Goyim brought korbanos all the time. Yeah, it's very common.
But what make him to do it? It's not required.
No, it's not required, but he wanted to show his gratitude, his appreciation.
No, but he show what he feel, but it doesn't mean his sacrifice accepted.
Or accept it or not, okay, whatever, that's a different question.
But it means he only show...
He wants to show gratitude, he wants to show that he's a nice guy.
No, but there is different ways to show appreciation, but sacrifice is very specific for Jewish people. I don't see any reason to do it.
No, again, non-Jews brought korbanos to the Beis HaMikdash all the time. Yeah, it could be a korban adava, it could be a korban toida, it could be anything, right?
Is this written?
And yeah, the Kohanim brought it, yes, for sure.
Well, here he says he didn't want to take the money because part of the money was used for Venezuela.
Right.
He bought stuff with that money, been used to purchase idols. Had been included in the silver and gold that Naaman offered to Elisha.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So, but I thought you're not supposed to take a gift, period. Never mind, what if it wasn't? What is it, it was just real money. You're not supposed to take it. How can he,
right.
Same Rashi says, because of the price of idols.
He brought something else to him besides money.
What?
If you look, you'll see he brought other things besides money.
Yeah, I know, that's who we're talking about.
What else did he bring?
He's talking about
not
money.
What else did he bring?
He's not talking about money here. He's talking about idols, and he's talking about silver and gold. It seems to be, if this stuff had nothing to do with idols, he would have been allowed to take it. The way he's saying it here.
You're not
That's
listening.
Not right.
You're not listening. He offered him something else. that he didn't take?
What do you mean? What did he offer him besides?
Read and see what it says. See what
I read
it,
really
see
what
he brought.
He offered him, but the way he's saying it, he didn't accept it because in the stuff that he offered him was the price for idols that he used it for.
Did he offer him clothing? Did he offer him some clothing?
What I'm talking about this what he's
Vald, you know,
what he's talking about here.
Read on. All right.
That's later. I'm talking about this part right here.
Well, you're not.
He's giving him a reason.
You're taking something out of context.
He's giving a reason. I say his reason doesn't seem right.
But there's something else there.
This on this alone.
Well, yeah, keep going because you're not listening.
You're not saying anything. You're not.
I don't have to give you the answer. You got to read and see what it says.
You're not listening to what I am saying.
I'm listening to you. You're taking it out of context.
Then why did he write it down here for?
So the Radak points out also that he didn't want to. He wanted to make a mizbeach in his own land, right?
Yeah.
In his country. Right, but he wanted to.
It seems like this: if Naaman all of a sudden believes, all of a sudden, how come he didn't become Jewish?
Well, I'm saying just because there's plenty of Bnei Noach that believe in Hashem. That's what you have communities today. You have Noachites, right? And they do all the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. Right, they believe in Hashem. They recognize that the God of the Jews is a real God. Doesn't mean they convert. Right, converting is a real serious step. Right, not necessarily. You don't have to necessarily take on 613 mitzvot.
Yeah, all right.
Right, don't need. I'm saying you can recognize Hashem and stay a goy. Right, no problem with that. No chiv to become Jewish. If you feel like it's a strong urge, then okay, fine. Right, then the whole process you go through. Okay. In any case, pasuk yuches, v'lodavar ze yislach Hashem l'avdecha, b'voy adoni b'isrimoin, v'ishtach v'ishamo, v'unishan al yodoni, v'ishtach v'isi b'isrimoin, v'ishtach v'yalsi b'isrimoin, yislach Hashem l'avdecha b'dovar ze. So now, Elisha is addressing two points over here, right? First of all, when Melch Aram came to be mishtach b'nei Yisrael, right? He had to, the way the building was set up, he had to bow down in order to walk in. Now, which means that he's actually bowing down to the king. Why is that? No, typically that's an issue. You're not allowed to bow down to a king, right? Because that shows that, it might be some kind of form of avodah zara, you're worshipping him or whatever, right? But because he was forced to bow down as he walked in, because the way the door was made was the door was lower than a person's height, so when he came in he had to bow down in order to walk through the door. Right, they set it up that way so everyone would have to bow down. Now that is not mitzvah din. That's not considered to be a problem because he's just trying to get in. He's not trying to. His kavanah is not bowing down to the king. Right, that's only also mishum maris ein. Right. It's an issue of Meir Sinai, because it appears, right, it's only a problem to bow down to a king, because it appears that you're worshipping him, right? Just like the Gemara says that, if you're standing in front of a Avodah Zara, and you drop something, right?
Yeah,
you're not allowed to bend down to pick it up.
Right? Yeah.
Even though, what do you mean? I have no kavana to be mishtachavet to the Avodah Zara. All I want to do is pick up, whatever. I dropped a $10 bill, whatever it was.
But it looks bad.
Right, it looks bad. Right, so that's what he's saying. L'davar hazeh yislach Hashem l'avodecha. So meaning that Hashem will forgive me for the avodah zara that it appears to be, right? Because it's only marisai. So because it's only marisai, Hashem will forgive me for that because it only looks bad. It's not mitzvah din. There's nothing wrong with it, right? It just looks bad. So Hashem will hopefully forgive me for doing that. Now, after that, right, after he walked into the house, to the palace, right, he had to bow down again, right? So the king won't think that he's being kofer in avodah zarah, right? And that was specifically geared towards avodah zarah. That's why he's writing bishtachavesi base rimoin, right? So when I'm actually bowing down to the avodah zarah itself, that is a problem, right? Because it's real yishtachavot avodah zarah. That's a problem. But he's saying, Yizlach Hashem, lavdecha, b'davar zeh. Hashem will forgive me for that as well. For the second Yishtachavot that was specifically geared towards avodah zarah. Right? So he's saying, for that, what's his name? Naaman talking, right? He's saying, Hashem will forgive me for that too. He's saying, because I took dirt from here, right, to build a mizbeach in my country and to set up an avodah for Hashem. Right, therefore Hashem will hopefully forgive me for the second time that I bow down to the avodah zarah. Because he knows, he recognizes that I was miyached my avodah to him. Right, and so now the shtachavah that he did for the real avodah zarah, right? He did it because he was fearful of the king, right? He didn't want the king to kill him. Back then, right? If the king thought you were doing something wrong, very very simple outcome.
You lose your head.
Off with the head, right? It's over, game over, right? So now a ben noyach, a non-Jew, does not have a mitzvah of kiddush Hashem. It's not his mitzvah. It's only a mitzvah for Jews. Jews have a mitzvah for Kiddush Hashem. Ben Noach has no mitzvah for Kiddush Hashem. Therefore, for him, it's less of an issue. Yeah? That's why what Naaman is saying over here is he's hoping that Hashem will forgive him for both times that he bowed down. First, when he walked in and he was forced to bow down in order to get through the doorway. And the second time, when he was forced to bow down to the actual avodah zarah because he was afraid of the king. That's where he's asking for forgiveness. So what does Elisha say? Right? Elisha says, don't worry about it, right? Go in peace. And he walks him out. So basically, so the Pasuk is not specifying over here, but the Rabbah points out that what's obvious is that he granted his request to build a mizbeach in his land, to bring korbanos, to show his gratitude and his loyalty to Hashem, to the God of the Jewish people. Okay, let's continue. Pasuk Chaf. Ve'amar Gehazi, na'ar Elisha, isha Elokim, hine chosach adoini es na'amon ha'ram yazeh, mikachas miyodeh es asher hevi, chai Hashem, ki imrasti achar v'lakachti mitoi me'uma. So Gehazi was very unhappy about this whole back and forth between Elisha and Naaman. Right? Gehazi is saying, what's going on over here? Right? Naaman is offering you money and you're turning it down? How could that be? Why would you turn it down? Right? He's very upset about it. So he says, okay, you know, Elisha didn't want to take it, but who's gonna know if I go ahead, you know, and take the money? Right? Without anybody finding out. No one will be the wiser. Right? Makes sense.
What was his intention?
So, first of all, he was upset over the fact that Elisha didn't get money, right? Even though he did it for Kiddush Hashem. Right? But because a pidin, you're not supposed to be merap. It's not supposed to cure a non-Jew. So at least if you cured him, at least take some money, right? Take some money because you're not supposed to do it in the first place. So if you did it already, you might as well take some money, right? Okay, so you can't take it as a gift, right? Because you can't take it as a gift. Why we said it last time? Because that shows you're admitting an avodah zarah, right? So you can't do that. But he says, at least what I could do is, I could take payment for the service, right? I provided you with a service. You know, I'm taking payment for the service. I'm not admitting it of a avodah zarah. All I'm doing is taking payment for what I did for you. That's what Gehazi is pointing out. So he was upset over the fact that Elisha at least didn't do that. Right? So let's see. So Gehazi, after Naaman leaves, right, Gehazi chases after him. And Naaman looks in his rearview mirror and he sees this guy, Gehazi, chasing him, right? So he tells his driver to stop, to pull over to the side of the road. And he opens up his window and he says, Gehazi, what can I do you for? How can I help you?
He tells him, Baba, my son.
So what does Gehazi say? Vayomer shalom adoin shalom adoin ishlachani leimer hine ato zebo elai shnei neori marafraim mitnei anavim shnon aleim kikar kesef ushtei chalifes godim. Okay, he was very crafty, right? He didn't say, he could have said, yo, listen, you know, Elisha changed his mind, he wants to take your money, right? He didn't say that. He comes up with a cover story. He says these two shnei neviim came along and they came over and they needed some money. So Elisha didn't want to take any money for himself, but, you know, at least he needs to provide for these two young Naveem, right? These nine Naveem, right? So why don't you give them a kikar kesef, a shtei chalifes godim, right? Two suits.
What, was he making this up?
Yeah, he made it up. Total bubble mind.
There's two people who need this. He actually wanted it himself.
Yeah. He wanted it for himself. But he's got to provide a cover story because, you know, it doesn't make any sense. You know, a second ago, Elisha told me he doesn't want any money. Now he does. What's going on? So you have to come up with a story to explain what's going on over here. Pasuk of Gimel, V'yomer Naaman hoil no kikaraim. V'yifratz boy, V'yotzar kikaraim kesef shnei charitim u'shtei chalifes bgadim. Right? So he says, listen, I'll give you two kikar, right? And why one? Right? I have no problem. My money's not an issue. I'll give you two kikar. And so he gives him the two kikar, and he gives him these two suits. And these he gives it to his men, and his men carry it for Gehazi. Now, what's really going on over here is, and Gehazi knew this as well, is that Naaman was a little suspicious. Right? He thought maybe, you know, what's going on over here? Is, you know, Gehazi really speaking in the name of Elisha? Did he make the story up? So he has his men, right, as a disguise, they're carrying the Khalifa's bgadim for him, but really what they're doing is they're spying on him. They want to see if Gehazi is going to really bring it to Elisha, or is he going to take it for himself? Or, you know, is he going to bring it to the Bnei Naveem? Well, he wants to find out what's going on. And Gehazi knew this, right? He knew that they were suspecting him. Right?
Well, he says, he took it from their hand. It came to a secret place, and he took it from their hands, and he deposited it in the house. Whose house? His house?
So let's see.
Or Elisha's house?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. We'll see.
How
just
many
a minute.
How many people came to come up?
How many people came to where?
No, but it's before you said only one person approached to Haman to ask money.
This is Gehazi.
Yeah, but this is...
Then Naaman sent his men with Gehazi to carry the khalif, the stuff that he gave him, the khalifa he got him.
What he gave two people. Who's?
He sent two men with him, with Gehazi, to carry the stuff.
Ah, there is another two people.
Yeah.
Because it's heavy.
Again, yeah, right, yeah. Again, but really what they're doing is they're spying on Gehazi to see where he's going to take this, right? What's, you know, because Naaman was a little suspicious. Pasuk Chav Dalet, Vayomer Elo Eifel, Vayikach Miyodom, Vayivkoit Babayis, Vayishalach Sanoshim Vayolich. Right? So he comes to this house, right? This Eifel. Whose house was this? right? So this house was really not his house. Rather, it was some random house. But Gehazi pulled he was a bit of a con man, right? He pulled a quick one on them. He walks into the house, and he makes believe as if he's, you know, the owner of the house. He's like, yeah, you know, go get me dinner. You know, here, take the clothes, put it in my closet, right? He tells all the waiters to what to do. So the men that Naaman sent are going to think that this is really his house, right? And then they're going to let go. They're going to let him go. They're not going to follow him anymore. Yeah. That was his intention, because he didn't want them to follow him. Pasuk Chavevu, Vava Yamud El Adonav, Vayemer Elav Elisha, Me'ayin Gechazi. Vayemer Loy Halach Avdecha Ono Va'ono. Yeah. So, meanwhile, Elisha's wondering where Gehazi went, right? So he asked him, well, where have you been? Right? What's going on? Gehazi told him, well, I didn't go anywhere. I was right here the whole time, right? I didn't do anything. I don't know what you want.
Not me.
Not me.
I'm not guilty.
Right. It was the other guy. Right, Pasuk Chavav. Vayemar Elav Loi Libi Holach Kasher Avach Ish Mal Markav Toi Lukasecha Ha'eis Lakachas Es HaKesef Lakachas Godim Ezeis Merkami Mitzayin Bokar Vavodim Ushfachois. Now, Elisha wasn't stupid, right? And he says, Loi Libi Holach Imcha, right? He's asking him, didn't my heart go with you? I know where you went, right?
Somebody said
he was a Navi, right?
After he found out about him, he told him you're going to be a Taras for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
For doing that.
Maybe if Elisha...
Yeah, but it'll be rich.
Elisha...
Well, he's saying, listen, if you did it for a reason, if you did it to support Neem or something, right? That's one thing, right? But there's no need for that, right? We don't have a famine right now. No need to ask Naaman for money, right? And again, the point was to do it in a way where it would seem like a great Kiddush Hashem. And not B'derech HaTeva, wasn't nature, right? So the whole point, the money defeats the purpose. So Elisha was very upset with Gehazi, and what does he tell him? Pasuk Chaf Zayin, V'tzeras Naaman Tidbok B'cho V'zaracha L'Oilam. Now, in turn, you will get the tzeras of Naaman forever, you and the future generations. V'yesim l'fonav metzora kasholeg.
What was actually he did wrong? To take money or did...
Well, it sounds like the main problem was taking the money. Right? He tried to cover it up with Elisha and lied to him.
No, but somebody wants to give money. And... kind of practical,
yeah, but it depends. It depends.
Practical idea. Why not to take money? Probably in our society, it's not so bad. He did not steal. He only take what somebody wants to give.
Yeah, but if you just because he wants to give doesn't mean we have to take it, right?
No. For example, somebody come here, approach to Rabbi. Our Rabbi said, "I want to give money to Yeshua."
Right, that's happening in a vacuum.
Yeah, no, but Rabbi said, "No, I don't need it." After that, Matthew approached, said, "Why not? I am ready to take it."
Mm-hmm.
No, but he doesn't understand business. And I see picture, and this is money really happy for us.
If you take something for yourself,
nope.
It's one thing. If you take something for a tzedakah or for us,
no, yes,
that's okay.
Right.
But here, Gehazi was taking that to become rich. He wanted to buy olive groves and
who became rich is not
a Cadillac. So,
it is not sin to wish to be rich.
It's no sin to be rich, but not to try to steal it.
No, again, this interesting. This is a story work this time, but it doesn't work in our time. It's nothing wrong to take money somebody wants to give you. If not give you, of course, okay, somebody came rich, do you want $100?
Put it right there.
No.
Let me see the green stuff.
Yeah.
No, I don't take checks.
I want cash.
You're so silly, say, I don't know. Give me. Okay. What is wrong with you?
But you're taking it for yourself because you did it. Someone comes in and you did him a favor. And he wants to give you a tip.
You don't want to take money? I want to take money. I believe it's wrong. Something wrong. But to explain what is wrong is not so simple in our time.
Where are you coming from?
But this is very strong punishment.
Yeah.
He knew what was going on. He wanted him to confess.
Right, yeah, he suspected.
If he would have confessed, he would have told them, well, you can't keep the stuff, bring it back, and that would have been it.
Right.
But he didn't confess.
Right.
Well, if you go back to Adoration, Hashem says, where are you?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You had a mitzvah. Now you left it. Where are you now?
Right.
It's just,
Same thing.
It says not like he didn't know where he was. He knew where he was.
Right.
He wanted to know, where are you up here?
Right.
What do you believe in?
Exactly.
It's kind of very important. It's a moral problem.
Yeah.
But punished him this is...
Well, it's Mida Kereged Mida, right? Because this all came about through the Tzaras of Naaman. That's all Hashem punishes people. He punishes them measure for measure. You were trying to gain money from curing him from the Tzaras, now you're going to get the Tzaras. That's how Hashem punishes them.
But this isn't the end that we hear from him.
Who, Gehazi? Elisha?
No.
Naaman?
Gehazi.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Don't we hear from him again? And,
yeah, there's more.
When Sancheriv comes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, just one last point before we finish. The Radak points out that Elisha gives him a curse, a klala, that you and your sons, your children, your offspring will also have saras. Right? So first of all, he says that it's not referring to the children that he's going to have born from then on. Rather, it's referring to the children that he already had previously.
Right?
Well, why? Well, why do they deserve to get saras? Right? Gehazi messed up. Why do they deserve to get punished? So he says that they were actually in on the plan with Gehazi. Right? They were all in it together. So that's why, and it's not specified in the Pesukim, but it sounds like the plan was carried out by Gehazi and his sons as well. That's why they deserve to be punished too. Okay, we'll stop here.